have your attention, please. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Israel, but Barzillai Hawk, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Israel Abel, Yedidiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to introduce the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary. I now present one of the sons of Israel Abel, Yeshem Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. May the peace of God be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. My title is Don't Go the Way of Cain. Please turn over to Genesis 4, verse 8 and 14. And page 3, and it says, Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were spread abroad, that Cain rose against Abel his brother and killed him. Surely you have driven me out of this day from the face of the ground, I shall not be seen by your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, for there shall be continual war, vengeance, and retaliation. Cain rose against Abel and killed him. It probably started with arguments, then kicking, then screaming, biting, then fighting. Turn to Yada 1, verse 11, on page 970. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the ill of Balaam for reward, and have perished in the rebellion of Korah. The whole world goes the way of Cain. If you are a firefighter and you blow fuel to the fire, the fire will grow bigger. Fighting is not the solution. On page 63 in the self-control unit of the peaceful solution, it says, whether we realize it or not, there are a series of steps that lead to feeling angry. These steps involve our triggers, thoughts, and feelings in learning to control your anger. You must be aware of these steps that lead to anger. Anger starts with an incident that pushes our buttons and triggers our anger. Conflicts, disagreements, insecurities, and disappointments are examples of common triggers. What are your anger triggers? These triggers lead to thoughts, hot thoughts. What you say to yourself when faced with one of your anger triggers determines whether you become angry. Thoughts like, how would she like it if I did that to her? Or, he makes me so mad, I could smack him, and are turned hot thoughts because they feel your anger and make you feel that you have the right to be angry and to act on your anger. These thoughts lead to feelings. Feelings. Our thoughts produce our feelings, therefore hot thoughts justify our choice to feel angry. All feelings lead to action, so let's do this. Work it out. Don't fight it out. Now that's love. Let's go. A common anger trap lies in using abusive behavior as a means to resolve conflicts. Just because you have a conflict with someone does not mean you have to resort to verbal or physical abuse to get your point across. Conflicts are not excuses to become angry. Conflicts are simply disagreements between people with different opinions, needs, and wants. As you will learn in the next chapter, respectful communication and interaction, as well as listening to each other, can resolve any conflict a lot faster than anger ever could. Now that's love. Let's go to 2 Yochanan 1 verse 6 on page 968. And it says, Second Yochanan, verse 6, and it says, "And this is love, that we walk after His laws. Those are the laws that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in them. We should walk in Yahweh's laws, not sinning." Please turn to 1 Yochanan 3 verse 4. On page 965. And it says, "Whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." In conclusion, don't go the way of Cain, like fighting, yelling, striking, screaming, kicking, teasing, biting, calling names. Don't do it. Don't sin. If you will all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to
the great son of Israel Abel, Deacon Israel Abel.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my sermon today is Going On to Perfection. Now, in the August 2013 newsletter, "Come to Yahweh's Feast, and I will show you the way to 100% peace," under the heading, "Why the Set Feast Three Times Each Year," on page 1, it says, "Yahweh's plan is to build a family to whom He can give authority, knowing assuredly they will rule as Yahweh rules, according to Yahweh's laws of righteousness. Those who agree and choose to follow righteousness, 100% perfect righteousness, and overcome sin will inherit the kingdom of Yahweh." So remember about coming to unity. Well, in order to come to perfection and come to unity, what must we get rid of, House of Yahweh? Sin, yes, we must get rid of sin. In the second book of Israel, going on to perfection number 3, verse 42, Pastor says here, "Yahweh will take care of your past mistakes and whoever you made them with, but He won't take care of these in the future. They won't get you into the kingdom now that you have been offered the opportunity and know to start overcoming. Say in your mind, I'm going to overcome this thing. I'm going to find a way, then start applying yourself to overcoming it. This means overcoming every sin you have, whether it's losing your temper, holding grudges, being late, being slothful, getting aggravated and doing things to your child or to somebody else's child that you shouldn't. This even goes into verbal language, as we are going to see later in this. Brethren, we have to overcome the deepest aspects of this. We have to be totally without spot and without blemish. Think what a glorious priesthood this is going to be. It's going to last forever. Yahweh says that there's no end to this priesthood. So Pastor says here to say in your mind, I'm going to overcome this. I'm going to find a way and then start applying yourself to overcoming it. And you can use the three steps of assessing the situation, admitting that there's a problem, and then laying a foundation using the peaceful solution, the laws of Yahweh. So we need to overcome. I want to talk a little bit about the worldly entertainment. Whether it's video games, worldly music, movies, cartoons, whatever it is, riding a Ferris wheel, roller coaster, and the excitement that they say these things bring. You know, it only lasts a minute until you come back to reality. In the 10th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 8, and verse 6, Pastor says here, but the joy and gladness, if people would truly repent when they come here, and that's what Yahweh tells you to do. Come to his house, repent, and convert. Remember Acts 3 and verse 19. And convert. And here he has the greatest priest. He tells you this in the scripture. In these last days, he has the greatest priest guiding his house. Sincere, loving priests who are concerned for you, who are guiding you away from evil, trying to guide you away from evil. And he shows you this to bring you actually to perfection. And he put this priesthood together in these last days for this purpose. And of course, if you would truly repent and start looking for the joy that Yahweh offers right here in his teaching at his house, then you will find your joy. You will find your joy, great joy in Yahweh. And it's such a change. It's not something you can find in the world. They offer you excitement and a make-believe life, you know. I told you this is the reason the Catholic Church brought up all the world fairs, because they saw the excitement that it generated, and it takes you out of reality and puts you in a make-believe world. They could take their make-believe salvation and stick it in there with it, and you would associate the two together and want to be a Catholic or want to be a Christian. But there's no real joy in this, no lasting joy. In verse 8 here, skipping down, he says, he's talking about buying an automobile and you think it's great and it starts falling apart. He says, but that's with riding a Ferris wheel, you know. You think, oh wow, what a joy this is going to be. Or now the excitement is worn off the Ferris wheel. They used to be really exciting, but not so anymore. So they make them even more dangerous with this train up there floating around in the sky and coming off the hills and so forth. And if that's not exciting enough, they got this spongy cord that you can go way up to a tower, to a top tower, and they hook this thing on your legs and you jump off, and it's supposed to stop you just before your head hits the concrete. They have forgotten to tie it, you know, and people have lost their lives. They've lost their lives trying to find that excitement. They thought this was going to bring joy in their life. If you think about it in advance, you would see that it's nothing there but make-believe. There's no true joy to be found, but there is true joy here in the house if you'll just repent and turn to Yahweh and start finding it. Praise Yahweh. So the only true joy is here in Yahweh's house. Now, on one website, it was talking about bungee jumping, and they said it's like driving 100 miles an hour in America in an automobile. And then from a roller coaster, it said 4,400 children and teenagers a year are killed, and there's 20 deaths a day. And they said that being killed in a roller coaster is more likely than being killed by a shark. Now, I want to show you some pictures here. Here are some of the worldly entertainment. Here's a roller coaster. You see all the colors to make it look desirable. And then look at the people. They look like they're having an exciting time, all smiling and everything. And then look at this one, going straight up. You know, why would you want to put this fear in your body? And then what if the person behind you has a bad stomach day and, you know, they throw up or something and then it goes all over you? And so this is this make-believe excitement that the world has to offer. Hopefully there's no one here willing to risk their salvation on something like this. Praise Yahweh. In the 11th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 14, verse 98, pastor says here, he's reading from 1 Corinthians 11, and he says, "But when we are judged, we are chastened, disciplined by Yahweh, that we may not be condemned with the world." Now, if you're condemned with the world, you're part of the world. If you're part of the world, you're following your lusts away from what Yahweh has told you. You've got to follow here. You're seeking pleasure. You're seeking joy outside of the way Yahweh says is the true joy. The way of the world, brethren, is just running to and fro, one instrument after another, to play with, spending money on things they don't need. It would never bring them joy. In fact, they're dissatisfied after a few days of this so-called joy. And then from the 7th book of Israel, part 1, he says, chapter 21, verse 81, he says, "There's really joy in pain, isn't there? And that's what you're going to get. And that's the way you will die, if you keep thinking that this is where joy is. Joy is not in these things. It's not in unrighteousness. True joy, brethren, is in keeping the laws of Yahweh. A peaceful life and health, of course. Praise Yahweh." So the true joy can be found here at Yahweh's house. But this worldly entertainment can lead you right out of Yahweh's house. And the music, the worldly music, they're not singing about Yahweh or His laws. And we've heard accounts in the Peaceful Solution where people have actually listened to this stuff and then they went out and committed suicide. And that's not what we want to be putting in our brains or in our children's brains. Pastor says here, in the 12th book of Israel, chapter 15, verse 28, he says, but he who overcomes, he's talking about overcoming this world as he himself did, overcoming in this generation, right here that we're living in. That is hard to do, because it's hard to convince anyone to come out of the world and start living by the words of Yahweh. Even though they can see, I don't know, I hope you saw that, the news clips that were given, and how sick this world is, and what it's eating and drinking. Yahweh actually prophesied that. He said they would be doing that. So the house of Yahweh offers plenty alternatives to help you overcome. You know, we produce our own righteous music, which promotes the keeping of Yahweh's laws, the 613 laws. There's the prophetic word programs. And pastor said in another sermon that the laws, they paint a picture in your mind. They show you the dirt on your face so that you could start overcoming. And this is the most important offer that you will ever be offered, to make it in the kingdom in this priesthood. And we have the opportunity to make it. But if we don't, then it is no one's fault but our own. Well, one last verse out of the book of Israel before I close. In the 2nd book of Israel, going on to perfection number 3, verse 4, he says, "If you will go on to perfection, if you will pay attention here and then apply this to your life, between now and the time the number is complete, you have the opportunity of the greatest glory and honor that will ever be bestowed upon anyone, except Yahshua, your head. You are going to be right up there with him, brethren. You are going to have to make the effort. You're going to have to apply yourself." Remember what pastor said that I read in the beginning. He said to say in your mind that I'm going to overcome this thing. Set your mind to do it. Find a way and then start applying yourself to overcome it. So let's all come to perfection because there's not much time left. And with that, if you'll all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to introduce to you the great Khan, Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Wow, did you hear the sound of the trumpets this morning? Did you hear the sound of the trumpets this morning? Well, blessed are those that hear the sound of the trumpet, that hear in order to obey the sounds of the trumpet. Pope's coming, right? Pope Francis is coming, 922 to 927. We're going to continue on our journey, and we're going to learn how to discern, capitalize that C-E-R-N, okay? We're going to learn how to discern the times that we're in right now, because Yahweh is revealing secrets, and only through His house is He doing this. Now, if you remember what I brought a couple days ago about the Pope, Pope Francis, he's going to be coming on 922. And if you remember, 922 is 923 days after he was elected on March 13th, 2013. He's the 266th Pope. He's coming on the 266th day of the year. And remember, gestation period for the birth of a baby. The birth of a baby. Remember that. Now, Washington, D.C., I want to tell you something about Washington, D.C., where he's coming. Did you know Washington, D.C. was established by a settler named Francis Pope? Francis Pope? Really? Really? Francis Pope, now this was written in 2004, if you notice here. So they had no idea of a Pope Francis back then, did they? Francis Pope is the original landowner of Washington, D.C. And I guess he was so into his last name that he tried to pretend he was a pope. And he called the place Rome. And he even had the name of the river, the Tiber River, just like the one that runs through Italy there in Rome. Wow. I guess that's a coincidence, right? See how full circle we've come here? You see what's getting ready to take place, don't you? You can see the signs that Yahweh, that are being sent. Now, Washington, D.C., okay, now, and also remember, half of 266, if you divide it by 2, it's 313. That's the election date of the Pope. So we talked about 923 last time, and the European time date of 23/9. That's how they would write it in fact, here I have it, the European date format for you, just so you can see. That's President Obama's signature right there. And he put the day first, then the month. That's the proper way. It would look something, this is how we would do it. This is how they do it in Europe. They put the day first, then the month, then the year. Now, that's significant because of what we learned last week and how they're prophesying this. They're doing magic through numerology and divination. Remember the divining serpent. That's part of what they do. They have lots of forms of divination. Pastor mentioned one of them about the animals, looking into the parts of animals or looking into the liver, as it's talked about, and looking into also a form of divination that you notice February 2nd on Groundhog's Day. When the groundhog comes out, if he doesn't see his shadow, we're in for another 6 weeks of winter. That's a form of divination. Okay, it's being performed right in front of your eyes, but you didn't really know what they were doing. That's on February 2nd every year. And we talked about the importance of the number 37. Let me see if I have this. Yes, I do. Okay. I want to remind you of something I showed you before. Remember flight MH370 that disappeared? Just disappeared. It vanished in an age where we have NSA, satellites, you know, so on and so forth. Let me get my picture here. I got to have this ready. Just bear with me for just a second. There it is. All right. Now, remember what I showed you about the writings of Aleister Crowley? I want you to notice the numbers on this book, this Kabbalistic writings here. 777, and also it's book number 370. Okay? Keep those numbers in your mind. This is part of their magic they're performing. Now notice here, you have flight 370. It was a Boeing 777, and there's 239 people that are dead. Y'all see that? 239 people dead on the plane that they never found. And remember, America's birthday, we're 239 years old this year, okay? Remember all these numbers. Okay, now, here's an interesting fact. Remember the Year of Light? It started a couple days ago, right? September 13th on the Hebrew calendar, 5776. Here it is here. I want everyone to... I'm going to read the pertinent part. It says, AM 5776 began at sunset on September 13, 2015, and will end at sunset on the 2nd of October, 2016. And they're calling it the Year of Light. But I got news for you. They're putting light for darkness. I want you to notice from September 28th to October 2nd, when the Year of Light is over, look how many days there are. 370 days, exactly. Now, you remember the made-for-TV trailer I showed last week? It showed the nuclear detonation device that read 2 minutes and 39 seconds till it blew up, which is 9:23. And by the way, don't think that they're going to blow New York up on 9:23. That's not what they're showing. But they are showing 9:23 is significant, and that this is, you're going to learn as we go along what the significance of that is. By the way, they showed a nuclear device on that it said 9:23 or 2:39. Did you know that plutonium-239 is the main ingredient of a nuclear bomb? Yes? Well, now you do. It says plutonium-239 is an isotope of plutonium. Plutonium-239 is the primary fissile isotope used for the production of nuclear weapons. Isn't that interesting? Now, these magicians know about what they're doing. You know, that name magician came from the word magi, you know, the wise men from the east, the magi. You know, when you go in front of a magistrate in a court, that's where all these words came from. That's why they have that black robe on, okay? You're in front of the magistrate, the magicians. This is all part of their magic they're performing in these last days. And by the way, you remember also, I showed you that on 9/24... On 9/24, it'll be 132 weeks since Pope Francis was elected. See all the 33s there? Four of them equals 132. They know this. They're bringing this destruction about themselves. These are the Coptic Catholics, okay, from Egypt. And... now, I want to remind you of an exchange that took place in that movie. Because remember, the 239 showed and they said, open the door, right at 239. And the scientist goes to the investigator flipping through the scientist's journal, looking at wormholes or what they call doors into other dimensions. And the investigator says, in your journal, you talk about a life-creating act of destruction. And the scientist replied, every act of creation is first an act of destruction. Remember what I showed you about order out of chaos. The gematria, Jewish gematria, 777, adds up, order out of chaos adds up to 777. You have to first create the problem, then you come in as a savior with a solution, right? Yeah, the phoenix rises from the ashes. You know, they believe they're the ones that are going to go out leaping like calves released from the stall with your ashes under their feet. This is what they're hoping. Here, by the way, here's their emblem with a 33 triangle, order out of chaos. You see that? Order out of chaos. Okay, now, so where is this originating from? Remember, we spoke of the 266th Pope, Pope Francis, and gay marriage was approved on June 26th, which is also 26/6 on your calendar in European format. Now, gay marriage, gay, comes from the goddess Gaia, or the Earth Mother, pronounced Gaia. Now, these are the Earth Dwellers, that Yahshua spoke of in Revelation 13, when he said, those who dwell upon the earth will worship the beast. Okay, those who dwell upon the earth will worship him. And Revelation 13:8, where it says, all who dwell upon the earth will worship him. And Revelation 13:14 says, and deceives those who dwell upon the earth. Okay? So write those two scriptures down, Revelation 13:8 and 13:14. Now, I'm going to show you where this is originating from. By the way, 777, I got to bring this here. The other day, Pastor asked me if I knew what 777 meant, and I told him, and he goes, and then he read this to me. Earthiness. You see that? Remember, there's a definition for us, and there's a definition for them. Earthiness or earthy. Remember Pastor mentioning that word? Earthy. The earth dwellers. The geos, you know. Jesus, the earth pig. You remember that, right? The definition of Jesus meant earth pig. Here's it's from 776, and it means the whole earth as opposed to just part of the earth. Those who dwell upon the earth, the whole earth. Also, my glasses. 777 here in the Greek this is the Hebrew definition, means fasting without taking food, without having eaten. And it's from word number one, which is alpha. There it is there. And it means without. Without what? Well, without this. Without grain, especially wheat or corn, wheat and grain. Do you think Yahweh's telling us something about this famine we're getting ready to go into? That's going to be caused by these fiery flying serpents that are getting ready to come? We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But before I get ahead of myself, Speaking of Revelation 13, you remember CERN, right? We talked about the CERN machine, the particle accelerator. Well, they're going to restart. They restarted the LHC, the Large Hadron Collider, at 13 TeV just a couple months ago. Why 13, Tev? Back then, it was just a test. It was just a test run. But this September, they said, is the real deal. But why did they do it at 13, Tev? And what is Tev? What does that mean? What does this mean? 13, Tev. And that's the speed of these protons and electrons going around this deal that they got built, that 17-mile track. Well, first of all, here's from the CERN website. And let me get something ready here. Remember, CERN is celebrating their year of light, remember? There's their website with their number of the beast, showing that they're going to be celebrating this year of light. Yes, they are. Here is the LHC glossary from the CERN website. And TeV stands for tera electron volts. That's 1 trillion electron volts, or 10 to the 12th power electron volts. Tera means monster. 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 Monster? Monster? You remember that, right? Unleash the beast? Monster. Monster. You think it's an accident? Let's go further. Tera, as I showed you, tera is derived from the Greek word teras, meaning monster. Monster. So what monster are they talking about coming out of the abyss? Well, you remember the beast that rises from the abyss, the Holy Roman Empire? Everybody remembers that, right? Revelation 17, Revelation 13, reviving this Holy Roman Empire. CERN, that's a clever disguise for a machine. Here's who it's really named after. The god Cerninus. He's the horned one. The horned one. And he was used as a symbol of the Antichrist. Y'all write this down, right? Here's some synonyms for the name Baal. And notice Cerninus there. You notice him there? Right here, next to Horus and Jupiter. There's Baal. There's Baal, Nimrod. Let's not forget Marduk. Marduk. We pastor told us about Marduk right here in last month's newsletter, August 2015 newsletter. What a coincidence, right? All these coincidences must be really stacking up to the heavens by now. Oh. Let's not forget, I'm going to put my glasses back on here, try to stick to my notes. Oh, so I have to show you, remember Geo, Jesus? You ever heard of the Church of the Gisu? Well, the Gisu, here's who the Gisu are. Here's who's behind this. The Gisu is the mother church of the Society of Jesus, or Jesuits, a Catholic religious order. Now, here's something really interesting. Church of the Most Holy Name of Jesus at the Argentina. At the Argentina. Not in Argentina. At the Argentina. Y'all know what Argentina means, right? I'm sure you looked it up. It means silver. Silver. Wow, Pope Francis is from Argentina, isn't he? Huh. I mean, we know we went to his one of his cathedrals while we were there visiting, teaching the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Okay, now. Oh, I forgot to show you. When was the Church of the Jesu built? June 26th. 626. 26/6. Right? In 1568. I'm sure that's a coincidence, though. But it can't be too much of a coincidence. Because another member of the Year of Light, the UN, the United Nations, their charter was signed on June 26th, 1945. 626, 26/6, 1945. 70 years ago. Is this looking like more and more of a conspiracy to you? Yeah, I know some people think I'm into conspiracy. Yahweh calls it a conspiracy. You got a problem with that? I mean, there's a conspiracy. Let me tell you who's behind this conspiracy. These are the Pharisees. Oh, first of all, let me show you where they're residing at. The popes, where they're residing at in the Lateran Church. Lateran, there's Lateran. Here's from the Basic Encyclopedia. The ancient palace of the Lateran, given by the Emperor Constantine to the popes. Lateran is from Lateo to hide, and Rana, a frog, or the palace of the hidden frog. Remember the three unclean spirits like frogs that come out of the mouth of the dragon? Y'all remember that? We're exposing them for what they are. Yahweh knows. Yahweh told you he would expose them in the last days. Okay, now these are the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians that Pastor taught us took over the house of Yahweh, making it a den of thieves. Eventually, they destroyed the temple and moved to Rome. Yahweh took his name from their mouths as he said he would. He also said that he would not be joined with their assembly in Genesis 49:6. The Aaronic priesthood spoken of in the Keys of this Blood by Malachi Martin. These are the thieves and the robbers of Jeremiah 7:11 and Yeketzkeh 7:22. Turn over to Yeketzkeh 7:22 real quick. Because I want to show you how this was prophesied. It's on page 630. 7:22 says, I will turn my face away from them, and they will pollute my secret place. For the robbers will enter into it and defile it. The robbers. These are the thieves and the robbers that Yahshua spoke of that took over the temple. These are the magicians who are opposing Israel Hawkins and Yahshua Messiah at this time. Remember 2 Timothy 3:8 and 9? They will proceed no further, even as they opposed Moshe. Even as they opposed Moshe with their magic, with their divination. Remember 2 Timothy 3:8 and 9 says their folly is going to be made known to everyone. Because you know what? They're not going to win. Turn over to Yochanan. Let's look at Yochanan chapter 10. Yochanan chapter 10, and Yochanan Mark. Yochanan chapter 10, I'll give you a page number. It's on page 826. Now remember CERN. Think about CERN. Yahshua said, truly I say to you, he who does not enter in through the door into the sheepfold, but climbs in some other way, like through some machine, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper, Pastor Israel Hawkins, opens to him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and then leads them out. Now, when he has brought them out of his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they hear his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. Rather, they will flee from him, for they don't know the voice of strangers or false teachers and God worshippers. Yahshua spoke this parable to them, but they didn't understand. Verse 7, then Yahshua said, truly I say to you, I am the door for the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If any man enters through me, through the house of Yahweh, remember Hebrews 10:21, he's the high priest over the house of Yahweh. These thieves and robbers are trying to get in another way. They're not going to get in. The only way you're going to enter into Yahweh's gate, Genesis 28, remember Genesis 28? How wonderful is this place? This is the gateway, not the Stargate that they're trying to get through on Mount Wilson, where they have their Lucifer telescope, the Vatican, the biggest telescope in the world, on the Stargate that belongs to some Indians. They say that's one of their sacred mountains, Mount Graham, because they say it's a Stargate. So the Vatican took it over because they're trying to get in. They're trying to get into the kingdom of Yahweh through their meditation, through their sodomy, through their building of these machines. But it's not going to work. It's going to backfire on them. Okay? Their year of light they're speaking of, 5776. It means fowl. And it's from 5775. You know, like a bird. It means something that flieth, that flies or is flying. It's from 5774, and it means to cover in obscurity, to fly, to faint from the darkness of swooning, to wax faint, to be weary, to fly about, to fly to and fro, to cover and be dark. And notice, for out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. A flying fiery serpent. Well, what could that be? Well, Pastor's already told us what the flying fiery serpent is. Here's one I took a picture of just recently. Here's a flying fiery serpent that's going to deliver nukes. That was taken on 7/8, if you notice. I believe at the top it has the date of the picture. If I can find it. Yeah, right there. Zoom in on it for you. July 8th of this year is when I took it. And I don't know that I brought... But that word, the word meant darkness, and it meant soot. Soot, you know, that comes from the nuclear bombs, the when they explode. Okay, now let me get my bearings right here. Okay. All right, so let's talk about for a moment. Let's talk about pastors' lots. Because remember I mentioned Genesis 28:17. The gate, remember? 28 and 17 are two of pastors' lots. This is from the ninth book of Israel, part 2. And it's speaking about chapter 26, verse 52. He says, they totally translated it wrong, as the commentators say. Well, before that now, I had a King James Version, and I could see when I was 17 years old, I remember this at 17 very well because I was wanting to write a commentary at that time when I was 17 to show all the things that were wrong and the true way to salvation here. So when he was 17, he was desiring to write this law commentary. Also here, now listen to this. This is from the 8th book of Israel, chapter 11, verse 97. He says, well, here's what Yeketzkeh says concerning the immortal soul. There's no such thing. Yeketzkeh 18:4. Behold, all souls are mine, just as the soul of the Father's soul, the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins, it will die. The first time I found out there was a group of people teaching the immortal soul was when I was very young. I was very young, and I said, well, that don't make any sense according to scriptures, because I knew the scriptures. I'd read the scriptures for myself, and I knew this didn't make any sense. But my brother-in-law, who was a Free Will Baptist preacher, he was teaching the immortal soul, and he wanted me to become a Mason. And I said, I don't think I can become a Mason because of my belief. Because, you know, this is a religious organization. He said, oh, no, they're non-denominational. I said, oh, well, bring me an application and I'll look. I think I was 17 years old at that time. That was the time I was wanting to write a law commentary. So that's number 17. Lot number 28. This is from the 14th book of Israel, chapter 14, verse 2. And this is where his brother, he's talking about him and his brother having the radio show in Eastland, Texas in 1962. In 1962, Pastor would have been 28 years old. And he said they got fruit from that first broadcast that him and JG, the question and answer show, and that was the beginning of the opposing of Babylon. And you remember the sermon given about 1962, okay? And Pastor was living in Eastland, Texas. Here it shows the sequences of sevens in Pastor's lifetime. Pastor was 28 years old in 1962 when he began the question and answer show. And then 21 years later, three sevens, is when the House of Yahweh was fully established. And then, in 2011, which would have been another 28 years, is when he started seeing signs in the clouds. But what about 74? Well, Pastor was arrested on 2-12-08 when he was 74 years old. 7 months after he gave a sermon about the 777 snowflake vision on July of 2007, July 7, 2007, 7 months later, he was arrested. And you know, he mentioned, go back and read in that sermon, that's from the book of Israel, 7th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 24, he mentioned the seven different sevens in that sermon, and he asked us if we caught them. And one of them was Yochanan 7:7 saying, you know, the world hates me. It loves you, but it hates me. He actually mentioned that in this last in the newsletter about the light of Pope Francis coming. That's why they hate him, because he teaches Yahweh's laws. And by the way, a very great deacon from Nebraska. I'm from Alaska, and you know, the word ask is in Alaska. Okay, and he's from Nebraska. And that's got the word ask too, okay? And he did a lot of work with me on that, helping me on those numbers. And he's a very great, great servant in Yahweh's house, great deacon. Okay, now I'm almost done. I gotta get through this here. I've really got to get. I promised Pastor I would, and I've got to do it. Okay, now, can you? Okay, I told you what the meaning of 928 meant. Remember, 928 is when the blood moon is. It's when the Pope's leaving. And there's 928 days left until the end of the times, dividing of time. And I showed you it means dismay, sudden terror, or ruin. Sudden terror or ruin. Okay? But I didn't show you the other one because I didn't have time at that time. Kind of like I don't have time now. But here's what it means. It's Greek 928, and it means examine as by torture, torment, or buffet as of waves. You know, the two witnesses. Remember how it said in Revelation 9:5 here? It says that the two witnesses in the interlinear, they will torment those on the earth. They'll torment those on the earth. I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. Jumped ahead of myself. Right here. It says, because these two prophets have tormented those dwelling upon the earth. Those dwelling upon the earth. Tormented them. That means Pastor was poking them with a stick and teasing them and making fun of them and waterboarding them, right? Yeah, torturing them. Did you know that the word torture... And by the way, this is the same word used in Revelation 9 where it shows them opening the abyss and the smoke coming out. It says here, Revelation 9:5, they will torment them 5 moons. Okay, and the torment shows as the sting of a scorpion. We'll get into all that later. I don't have time right now. But let me get to this. I just lost it. What did I do with it? I'm throwing things around. Terror. Okay. Oh, here it is. Okay, so right here. 928 in the Greek, here's what it means. Tormented, pain, straining, torment. But it means to test. To test by the touchstone. Well, what is a touchstone? Very thankful for the great Khan David Heimerman, who taught us about the touchstone. and what it is. That's how I came across this. It says, drawing a line with gold on a touchstone will leave a visible trace because different alloys of gold have different colors. The unknown sample can be compared to samples of known purity. In other words, they take the gold, they rub it on this stone to tell, first of all, if it's real gold. But then also the quality of the gold, you know, whether it's 18 karat, 24 karat, so on and so forth. So even if it's real or what the quality is. Can you play the video real quick? Very quick video. The gold video. Pay careful attention to when he says about the gold standard in America.
But when you speak of independence, and I understand your terms, and I disagree with the need for that, but I understand it. But what people hear when you say independence, they hear secrecy. You know, you're going to keep it from us. And like the point I made at the beginning, the SEC is to pressure companies to reveal information, where the Federal Reserve does the opposite. They want, no, we can't tell anything because it might disturb the markets. But I do have one question. During the crisis or any time that you're aware of, has the Federal Reserve or Treasury participated in any gold swaps arrangements?
The Federal Reserve does not own any gold at all. We have not owned gold since 1934. We have not owned gold since 1934. We have not owned gold since 1934. So we have not engaged in any gold swaps.
But it appears on your balance sheet that you hold gold.
What appears on our balance sheet is gold certificates. When we turned before 1934, the Federal Reserve did own gold. We turned that over by law to the Treasury and received in return for that gold certificate.
So what do they have now? They have nothing. Nothing but worthless paper. Their whole system is a pyramid scheme. It's a pyramid with the all-seeing eye on the top. It's a pyramid scheme. Now, my final deal here. This is Strong's number 1934. Now, remember, I gave a sermon about 1934, but this is a different 1934 that you haven't seen yet. And here's what 1934 means. It means to search for intensively, to demand, to crave, to desire, to inquire, to seek after. To seek after like gold. They say that there's no gold standard in America. That the gold standard went out in 1934. But I'm here to tell you there is a gold standard. The house of Yahweh. The 613 laws are the standard of perfection. They are the gold standard. And that's where we're going to be tortured. We're going to be tested. Exodus 20:20. Yahweh has come to test and prove you, to see if you're fit for this kingdom. So don't be afraid, house of Yahweh. But I will remind you, what time should we get up in the morning to diligently seek and inquire after Yahweh? It's from word number 22:12, by the way. And it means to seek, to worship Yahweh. That's how you seek Yahweh. You worship Him with your whole heart, soul, and strength. You put everything you can into anything you do, like our great pastor Israel Hawkins does for us. You put your full 1,000,000,000% of your being into whatever you do. And it means to crave. I've met no one that craves the laws of Yahweh like Pastor Israel Hawkins does. In fact, when I went to visit him in prison, I had the great blessing of visiting him. And from the time he walked into the visiting room to the time he walked out of that visiting room, the only thing he did is preach a sermon on that telephone in that booth. That's all he did. He said, I know they're listening to me, so you know what? I'm going to give them a sermon. And he did. For about an hour, he gave them a sermon. And when the guard came to take him away, I thought he was going to do all this shaloming and all that before he left. He got right out of his seat. He said, I got to go. Yahweh bless you. Out the door. He taught me how to behave with the authorities. He taught me the true love and perfection. Yahweh taught me to diligently seek. I love seeking these things out, and I love Yahweh, and I know all you do. And hang on tight, because the beast is being unleashed. The nuclear wars are coming. The fiery flying serpent is being released. You can see it. It's coming. So everybody be ready, okay? Do your cleanses. Get ready. And at this time, I would like to turn it over to the great Kohen Ilya Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh!
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Of course, in the news, the world is falling apart around us. The system itself that has been created, of course, there's no substance there to create some kind of stability. And we're going to start out in California where the wildfires are taking place. And there's one fire specifically. They're talking about how it spread 60 square miles in less than 24 hours. And of course, they're saying they're out of control. And we know in the very basics of the peaceful solution, it's out of control due to goals that are set and not set. It's kind of like when society wants to wage a war instead of put out a fire. They want to save the whales while they abort babies, or save the dolphins while the homeless starve. Well, of course, it's due to decision-making, and priorities is why California is burning. Now, it's due to drought and some other things, but it's due to priorities. Well, where are the priorities? Where are they being put? Well, of course, the quartet is being... They've been meeting again. They're trying to get things under control. We showed an article Sabbath. We're going to replay a part of that. It's important that everyone understand who Federica Mogherini is. It's very important. She is the head UN leader for the EU. Now, this lady was born in Rome. She was trained in Rome, and she makes decisions from Rome. Now, she was recently, back in July, in the Middle East holding meetings. And, of course, where else could you hold a meeting than where it started with the Coptics in Egypt? And that's where they had a meeting. I want to read you the storyline to this real quick. And it says, Arab leaders and top U.S., EU, Russian, and U.N. diplomats met in an attempt to revive the Arab-Israeli peace process. Representatives of the so-called quartet of peacemakers met in Cairo for the first time since the Palestinian group Hamas formed its government following its landslide victory in January legislative election, throwing the peace process into crisis. Well, earlier Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, remember that was someone involved in the signing of the Oslo Accord back in 1993, he's also a member of the Fatah Party. Is in closing, final. Let me go back here before I lose my place. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas met Egypt President Hosni Mubarak, creating further momentum after the news that Abbas, the Fatah Party, is close to finalizing an agreement with Hamas on the formulation of a Palestinian national unity government. And the UN envoy representative Alvaro de Soto was so encouraged by this because he said it renewed these efforts to peace. Now, remember, Pope Francis referred to Mahmoud Abbas as an angel of peace. Now, make sure that you understand when you hear the Pope, remember he said he would that all would convert to peace, and no one wins with war. Remember, the way of peace is to convert to what I say do, as the Pope, the Vatican says. You don't win with war because we will destroy you. And that's what we see in Syria right now. 4 million refugees have fled Syria. 4 million. 7.6 million are displaced. And watch very carefully. If you remember the young boy that was laying on the beach that had died, his parents fled and he had drowned. They showed his body. Look very carefully at what this other young boy, who about the same age, looks very similar to that young boy that died that was on the beach. Well, his parents stayed. Look at his outcome and decide for yourself which one is better. Now, they blame this on the government of Syria, of course, shooting these missiles and dropping these bombs, but so many are being shot. Of course, you begin to play the blame game of who did what. And then pay close attention who stands with Syria. You have Iran, you have China, and you have Russia. All three countries which told the Pope to keep your religious sodomy ways out of our countries, do not bring them in. Pay close attention to all this, because these man-made wars are to gain control of people. It's to gain control. Pay careful attention also. The invitations that went out from the quartet, Pastor mentioned a while back that the quartet would expand. Now, when Federica Mogherini talks about this meeting soon to take place at the UN Assembly, which conveniently Pope Francis will be here, she mentions three countries that will also join. The UN sent out the invitation to them, being Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan. So it's very important to pay close attention to that. Remember, Jordan holds control of the Temple Mount. They're the ones that look over and oversee that. Well, recently, the last article is going to close off where Israelis actually stormed into the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Now, that's the mosque that sits behind the Dome of the Rock right at the Temple Mount. They actually stormed into that, removed all of the Muslims who were praying at the time and reading the Quran, ran them out for Israeli settlers to come in and just take a look. And they actually have authority to do that due to the agreement. But they come at any time they see fit. And watch how provocative and how much war, how much anger, how much that you can never have peace through what they're doing, this continual war. Pay close attention, because all of this is being done to bring people in compliance by force. If we could go ahead and play the news. At this time, if everyone will please stand, I'd like to introduce Yahweh's seventh trumpeter, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Well, we started the feast, didn't we? Everybody's here. Praise Yahweh. You're looking great. You're looking great. Let's hear you. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace, I love you too. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. It's surprising how strong our young people's voices are. I can hear them up here. I can't even hear the elders speak to me when they're trying to correct me. But I can hear the children. Tell the children what to say. That's the way it's. Anyway, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. That's something you don't see in the world today. The world hates me big time for the same reason it hated Yahshua. I'll give you two scriptures without reading them. Maybe the world will read these, but Yahshua was definitely against sin. The Pope and the Vatican are for sin. They're teaching sin. Anyone with knowledge to read can read the scriptures and see what sin is. Sin is the breaking of Yahweh's laws. That's 1 John 3. You need to read all of that chapter. There's no love in the Vatican or the people that's following. And that it plainly tells you that, because they do not keep Yahweh's law. There's no love there. The love has grown cold. But Yahshua exposed their sins. That's Yochanan or John, if you have a King James Version. 15, verse 20. Verse 7, and chapter 7 and verse 7 of the same book. 7:7. You should be able to remember that pretty easily. He exposed their sins. Satan doesn't want to see this resurrection. She doesn't want to see the Feast of Trumpets. She hates this plan of Yahweh, but this plan of Yahweh is going through. Like it or not, Satan, it's going through. the gates of hell are not going to prevail against this last day's work ever again. The Feast of Trumpets, that's the bringing back, the raising of the dead of those who have served Yahweh. Now, this will be the first resurrection. This is in Revelations, the 20th chapter, where this revelation is given to us through our high priest, Yahshua Messiah. It's not given to the world. They can't understand it, you know, and don't want to. The scriptures that I want to show you today, they objected to them even being put in the Holy Scriptures. But Yahweh put them there for us. And they say, but it has nothing to do with Christianity. That's what I'm saying too. It has nothing to do with Christianity. Christianity is a fake religion that's full of lies. It's filled with lies. The worship of the dead, Christmas, Santa Claus. Surely you don't still believe that Santa Claus is pulling reindeers in a sled through the sky. And that's the big lie that's told about Christmas, along with all the others. And of course, he brings presents down the chimney so your children will be righteous. You see any righteousness? Is that what it is when they grab guns and go to schools or movies and start shooting? Is that the righteousness that you see from your teachings? Of course it is. Teach them karate, they say. Karate. Karate is nothing but God worship. You know the gods you're worshiping when you hold up your hands like this? Take that sense. That's the worship of a god. When you fight, you're worshiping a god of war. In fact, several gods. I'll read it to you next week, maybe, or this Sabbath, this coming Sabbath, maybe. Anyway, Yahweh said in Genesis 1:26, he said, I will make man in my image after my likeness. Yahweh is perfect. There's no getting out of that. Everything in the scripture says perfect. Yahshua was perfect. He followed Yahweh's teachings and became the perfect example and now the high priest over the house of Yahweh in these last days. And he's sending his house to do the work, to train, to overcome, and eventually they will be given this authority that's promised here in Genesis 1:26. Authority over the dead to bring it to life. A great example of that, I've often thought about bringing it out, but I thought, well, maybe I'd get the biology teacher to do it this coming feast, because it does take a lot of explaining. But Jericho, you know, they still think this is just a story, but it's not. You go there and look, and we did, you know, we went there and looked at that place, and there's a few rocks that's standing, but you can tell those rocks went down like this. Now, these are huge stones. In fact, the temple was made out of those stones, and brick rock walls that are still standing, they're still standing, but Jericho came down. Didn't turn over like this, and the rocks fall off on the side like a earthquake shook it or anything. There was no earthquake, but yet it just came down like that. Now, if you put together with that what Yahshua said, that the Father is able of these very stones to raise up men to take your place. Well, how would he do that? In these stones? Microorganisms. Microorganisms that you'll be given, they will serve you. They'll be given to you as your servants at that time. And you will have authority to guide these microorganisms to do what you want them to do. If you want a mountain to collapse, or a huge stone that you don't want to plow through, if you want to change the shape of it and make petals out of it, all you'll have to do is tell it. Tell the microorganisms. Like when the trumpets were blown, then these microorganisms at Jericho, they dissolved. They just turned loose and let it turn to sand. Turned to individual dust or individual microorganisms. That's the way it works. That's the way creation works. Well, in Genesis, the 20th chapter, I guess we should read that one. Revelations 20, because here we're seeing what Satan hates, and of course what the Feast of Trumpets represents, because trumpets, they have a meaning and a sound that is actually heard and obeyed. And of course they also will take orders from the one sent. From the one sent. When that one sent is given that authority. Now, right now, we are the one sent. The house of Yahweh is the one sent to this world to tell them that they're sinning and give them the opportunity to repent. chapter 20 of Revelations, we see, "And I saw a Moloch come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand." Well, you know, now what's conjured up in your mind right here is you seeing a being float down from heaven, coming down from what planet? Well, we don't know. Maybe a cloud, a gassy cloud somewhere up there. But we see him coming down in our mind. But that's not what this is saying. The orders come from heaven, yes, as they did for Moshe to write the Ten Commandments, as they did for Abel to write the Ten Commandments. Yes, Abel wrote them too before Moshe. In fact, that was the Yahweh, his work, the Yahweh Jethro, who learned from Abel before Abel was actually given to death, the righteous one taken away, and the earth left to perish. Well, of course, this message comes down. Inspiration comes down from Yahweh from heaven. That's the way it did with Yahshua. And he said to Yahshua, "This day have I begotten you." Begotten. Well, we'll find out more about what this actually represents when you get deeper into it and we start dissecting these scriptures and show you the true meaning here. But the thing that is shown here in Revelations is, if you, verse 2 said, "And he laid hold on that dragon," you conjure up in your mind now, here is this character that grabs him with a karate chokehold or something, you know. Now, you could imagine how far that would get with Satan, surely, if you could see Satan. Well, you probably will never see Satan except the inspiration that Yahweh gives you, because I don't think he's going to expose her nakedness to anyone. In spite of what all she's done, Yahweh still loves the woman. But here we see someone that's putting a chokehold on her with words, not to choke her physically, but to limit her powers. And this is what this whole thing is explaining here. So if you can imagine the work we're doing right now, who does she work with? Who does she work through? The divining serpent, of course. The divining serpent that sits on seven hills. The leader of the kings of the earth. That's who she works through. She was working through Cain before he died. She inspired this man. The inspiration of Satan is strong. And she inspired this man to send his wives to talk to his mother and take her gifts and tell her how great this would be to give toys to the children. And the God Santa Claus, actually, you know, the great saint, I think his name was Nick or something like that. And of course, this pig with the apple in his mouth surely looked great on that platter, roasted just right. But the Christmas presents, yes, they were well alive and being given in that day. And the Christmas presents and the trees that go with it, you know, this was the tree of righteousness and evil that Yahweh actually put there. We'll get into details on this. I promise you we will, Yahweh willing, and I think he's willing. But the voices that was talking with Eve, it didn't surprise her, and this is one of the things that the commentators noticed. It wasn't like a python that you see that startled you. Our guards saw a snake about 12 to 14 foot long on the camera the other day, and it startled them. And this makes me think of Eve. She wasn't startled. She talked freely to these people that were talking to her and saw how great this was. It was probably planned, and she knew that they were practicing this long before that Eve herself talked Adam into doing it. This was a long, long plan that took place when, after they were actually scattered abroad. It's not, Genesis is not written in chronological order. So the things that are written there are scattered here and there, here a little and there a little. If you get it in your mind what Isaiah said, that the ones who want to believe deception will go and stumble and fall backwards, and of course they'll suffer the consequences. While the others that are obedient, keep this in your mind, the others that are obedient will actually learn, their minds will grow in righteousness, their subconscious mind will grow in righteousness, and when they see karate hands raise up, they'll walk away instead of being a part of it, right? Praise Yahweh. Well, and cast her into the bottomless pit and set a chain up on her so she wouldn't be loosed again for 1,000 years. And that's what the Feast of Trumpets is going to do, by the way. That represents this pulling her away, because this is the one that's bringing death, and that the altar with the four horns, the quartet that came from the Holy Roman Empire represents this altar of death that has killed the trillions of people that have lived, caused them to turn to sin and die miserable deaths. Well, he says, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Did you get that? Okay, this is the same thing that he said in Genesis 1:26. Thrones. And Daniel spoke on it too, until these thrones were set, and the Ancient of Days did judge. Well, of course, the Ancient of Days is judging, yes, by these things that he's given mankind, and when he gives this over to you, this great authority of judgment, all of these things will be within your power to do. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, judgment was given unto them. That's the time. That's the end of this, and the great sounds of the trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets, is actually a celebration to this. A very minor feast, very minor, that no one thinks anything about. It's almost like the Day of Atonement or the Day of Pentecost. But you find things, great things, that was put there in Pentecost for a show to us, a one-day feast. This one is not even a pronounced of the third of the three feasts. It's not one of them. There's no commandment for people to come to his house like they are for the other three feasts, except those who live here close, and we gather because out of our hearts we want to go and do this. Right? So we're in 100% in unity right here. And unity is the one thing that we really need to learn this feast. I mean, it needs to become perfected in our minds, and we do it instantly. I notice our young people in their prayers, their confessions, they say, I fail to be quick to obey. Well, I say, are you working on that? And of course, they say, yes, they are. And that they have it under control now. Praise Yahweh. Well, a righteous boy will fall 7 times or 70 times, but he'll get up and go on. But we're practicing. And that's what Yochanan said. Those who practice righteousness, they are the ones that are classified as righteous, practicing. But we will put on this immortality, and before the great power is given, we'll put it on enough to where the point comes that Yahweh knows we will not fail him. We'll keep this and we'll live by it. Well, she's chained, this verse 2, for 1,000 years, and then cast into this bottomless pit, that is, her powers is taken away, and it won't be given back to her until 1,000 years is up. She'll be more like being restrained to the city of refuge for that law, following that law. She won't be killed. We won't kill her. She's dying on her own. But we will restrain her to where she can't deceive. And if you think about this deception, it started with Eve, started with Cain, who taught his wives to teach Eve. That was all going on in that house. And of course, Eve fell for it. And then she talked her husband into it. The husband was a little bit stronger, but he gave in too to this deception. And then, of course, he was actually ashamed when Abel confronted him and said, "Why aren't you coming to your appointments with Yahweh? Why are you going to church over here on Sunday? Why are you going to this tree of evil? Are you wanting to be like the gods?" Well, that's what he was doing. So when Abel confronted him after they were scattered abroad, this was many, many people on the face of the earth at that time, and they were scattered abroad, then Abel, in confronting Cain, started the Cain to hating him, as the world hates Yahshua right now for exposing their sins, telling him, "You're not going to make it into Yahweh's kingdom. You're not acceptable. Your offering that you're bringing here are all fighting and angry with each other, and war is going on, and they're practicing retaliation, and vengeance." Well, what is the Pope doing? You can't have war, but there is certain morality factors that actually give us the right to war. See, so they're twisting the scriptures. Yahshua said, "He who lives by the sword, he who lives by karate or by nuclear bombs will die by them." Anyone who lives by war is going to die by war. And he's showing that you're going to kill yourselves. That's what he was telling. "And unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." The only ones that's not going to perish, and when he says perish, he means never. This is the second death, he said. "Then you will not be resurrected again. I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment is given to them." And that's the ones who overcome. Now remember, he who overcomes will inherit all things. He who overcomes. You can't keep practicing sin. You can't keep practicing Santa Claus lies, worship of the dead lies, Halloween. You're going to have to stop Follywood from being your teacher, and the one that owns it, the Vatican, who is teaching all of this. Isn't it a strange thing? You know, you think, how is this taking place? Isn't it strange that there's more people that are straight than they are sodomites? And yet, the Supreme Court now here's your democracy, and all the, there's many people speaking out on this. How did they get this through with the majority of the people, and I mean a big majority of people, against this? How did they get it through? Well, your answer is there for you, and they know it too. The Roman Catholic Church. The Holy Roman Catholic Church, as they call themselves, are the ones that put it through their Supreme Court. And they're saying now to people that don't want to give license, you know, you've got to. It's the law. Not Yahweh's law. And they say, well, the Pope can change the law. No, he can't change Yahweh's law. He can think to try, but he can't do it. Yahweh's law is unchangeable. It's forever. And the ones that he gives the judgment to, the ones who he sets in judgment, as we see here, judgment is given unto them. The thrones, I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Daniel shows this and shows these are the saints of Yahweh. Revelation shows they're the saints of Yahweh that keeps the laws of Yahweh and has the testimony of their high priest, Yahshua Messiah, who guides, directs, and corrects, and upholds and protects all of those things right now, saying, no, the gates of hell are not allowed to prevail against this group. That's what he's saying. Now, I'm sure they're going to try, you know, because Revelation 17 shows that they will make, 17:9, I believe, shows they will make war against Yahshua. They'll make war against Yahshua. Well, the way they do that is making war against his house, as we're told in a previous chapter, chapter 13. Make war against his house. They're making war against Yahshua, the Lamb. Here a little and there a little. And I saw the souls of those that were beheaded, the people, the bodies of those that were beheaded. I saw the bodies for that were beheaded for their witness of Yahshua. Now remember, the Catholics removed the name Yahshua and Yahweh from the Holy Scripture. They admit this. We're bringing this out daily now, every day. Thousands and thousands of people are clicking on it and seeing it and knowing what their past record has been, what the fruits of this organization has been, the Divining Spirit. They're beheaded for the witness of Yahshua. Now they say that is the Christians. And then they come to the book of Yaakov. And they got four books that they call Catholic. And this is why they hate the fact that the Bible got out to the people. That's why the Catholic Church and the popes hated it so much. Because they were bringing all these lies across, but nobody could prove they were lies because they had nothing to read to show them otherwise. So Yahweh brought the book of Yahweh back in 1987, but before that, he brought their renditions out. So I would study those renditions of the Bible, which I had about four different translations. I can't call it a translation. You can't even call these things translation. They are a rendition or a version, and that's what they call it, a version. Because they add and subtract from it, and they put mistranslations, and you can even catch them in their own lies in the Scripture. The lies that they put in there. So first, he had to teach me from their works. But even from their works, I would show preachers when I was 17, as the great Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins just brought out, I would show preachers this and they'd get mad at me. They'd get angry with me. And I'd say, well, why are you getting angry with me? It's your Bible you're reading. And they'd kind of smile and look sheepish and red. But they kept on with their foolishness anyway. They never did repent. But I learned this. I learned the King James Version before the Book of Yahweh ever came back. And the Book of Yahweh, I can tell you, is something that we proved long before this was brought out in 1987. The many things that's went into this book right here that we're reading now, the Book of Yahweh, named in Isaiah 34:16, search out the Book of Yahweh now and read. Well, the Book of Yahweh wasn't here until 1987. So now you can fulfill that law. Search out the Book of Yahweh and read. Praise Yahweh. But these were beheaded. They gave up their lives for Yahshua, for their witness of Yahshua, and for the word of Yahweh. That is the laws of Yahweh. So they were preaching Yahshua, just like the apostle, the disciple that I mentioned, Jacob, which we'll study a little about him. But they mentioned this in their books, and they condemned sin. The apostles do. In fact, all four of those apostles they call Catholics condemned the Catholics, and they know this. But they had no choice. It was already out, and of course, the Catholic Church was wounded. They could do nothing about it. So when they finally woke up to what had taken place, which was years later, they dug up the bones of these guys that put this out, the printers and so forth, and tried to grind them up into powder. You know, they hated them so much. Well, this is the hatred that they had against Yahshua. And he said, don't be surprised now if the world hates you. Anyone who brings forth righteousness, the world is going to hate. For the word of Yahweh, that word there is a debar, which means laws and prophecies. And who had not worshipped to the beast, well, you have to know something about the Holy Scriptures to know what this beast is that he's talking about here, which the prophet Daniel, and where Yahweh revealed to Daniel, and he actually spoke to a king and showed the power of Yahweh, and the king himself, actually his writing is in the book of Daniel testifying to this fact. That this being that you worship can reveal secrets. Now here's a person that had a dream, and we have many interpreters throughout the world on dreams and visions and so forth. And the king said, well, I don't trust you guys. You know, you pray for rain and you get $400 million in damage of hail. So I don't quite trust you. Why don't you pray for 6 inches of rain without hail and high wind? And see if your God will actually reveal this to you. Oh, no, I'm getting the stories mixed up. Daniel said, no. The king said, tell me my dream. First tell me my dream. Now, I had it, I've forgotten it, but you tell me what it was because it's really bothering me. Now, I've had this dream, and I'm really shook up about it. This is not a light thing. So you tell me my dream, talking to his Catholic priest. Yes, they had Catholic priests. They came from Egypt. And the scripture says they turned back to Egypt, which means they turned back to worshiping the gods. And that's what the prophet showed. They were Catholic Coptics. That's where it came from. And they carried this into Israel with them. And Yahweh said in 1 Samuel 8, Samuel, they're wanting to worship gods, don't you see? They don't want me, they don't want to follow my laws. They want to practice Christmas, Halloween, and Easter and make a lot of money. And that's what they were doing. And the previous chapter, chapter 7, shows Easter. The Easter goddess that they were worshiping. But that's not enough for Christianity. Christianity is going to have to live through the mess that they have formed. And the Catholics telling the Christian, you know, you have no authority except the Pope. The Pope is the one that changed the Sabbath. You have no authority for keeping Sunday except for the fact that Constantine said this is the day you're going to keep in honor of the sun god. And Christmas, December the 25th, is going to be the birthday of Jesus Christ because it was the birthday of the sun god Baal. And that's the authority you have for keeping this. Halloween didn't come from Yahweh. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah condemns it. In Isaiah 65, read it. Jeremiah condemns Christmas in chapter 10 of Jeremiah, if you have a King James Version. The beast that he's talking about here is described fully as a religion that thinks to change the times, the feast days, and the Sabbath day, the weekly Sabbath. He thinks to do it. He can't do it. He doesn't have the power to do it. But he can deceive the people into thinking that he can. He can deceive the people into thinking he can forgive sin. Do you notice he forgive the sins, said he's going to forgive them because this is a mercy year? Have mercy and bring me that tithe back into the Catholic Church. That's the mercy the man has in mind. We're losing too many people out there because we put them out of the church because of this. So this is a mercy year. Let's let them get back in here and get their tithe back in the Catholic Church quickly. We need some more money to pile up down here. Now, this piles is diminishing a little. Yes, that's the mercy. The Pope can't forgive sin. He's a sinner himself. He practices sin. The whole Catholic Church practices sin. All of Christianity practices sin. They're all cut off from Yahweh. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Yahweh only can forgive sin. Even your forefathers, the violent men that took over the temple, said, "We know that Yahweh heareth not a sinner." They're smarter than the Pope today. Yahweh don't even hear you when you're wanting to change or have a mercy year to get all this mercy money back into the house, back into the Catholic Church. He don't hear you. He's already told you in judgment what your plight is going to bring you. What sin is going to bring you is nuclear war, nuclear burning, and dig your hole so deep that you think you're safe, you can't do it. No, you're going to die in this whole mess. And you're the ones that's bringing it. The divining serpent that can bring forth laws in a great place called the United States with the majority of the people against it, a huge majority of the people against it, but you can bring forth these laws of yours trying to force people to make their children sodomites. Why are you doing this? Because Satan, you're doing the will of your father, your mother, who is Satan the devil. Whatever she tells you to do, you're going to do. You've given yourself into her hands. The only way you could stop this is repent, and Yahweh says you're not going to repent. It would take a real human being to repent once they get sunk as deep as the Catholic Church. And Yahweh shows, even after a third part of man is killed over that fourth part of the earth, and they're dying pretty rapidly right now, but also it shows it's going to be of nuclear war, famine, and so forth. Well, the nuclear wars is going to begin very soon. But not worship the beast. The beast is the Roman Catholic Church. Constantine is the Pope that changed or thought to change the Sabbath day and the feast day. And he passed a law against keeping them, and they killed people like Jacob and Kepha and so forth. They changed Jacob's name. You'd have to find it out in the King James Version to know, wouldn't you? Remember what his name was in the King James Version? James. Now, what does that mean? Has no meaning. What does Jacob mean? Or Jacobus, what does that mean? These have meanings. It means the protected group. That's one of the things it means. Yes? Yes, in fact, you have some of Jacob. Yahweh says he brought it down to us. Some of Jacob in you. Talking about his laws and his character. So when he calls you, you came. You say, hey, that's right. How'd you know that? Had not worshipped the beast, nor his likeness, neither had received his mark in their foreheads. And if you don't know that, you need to read the mark of the beast. Nor upon their hands. Yes, it's on their hands and their foreheads and their minds. And they lived, these people who overcame this now, who overcame them, come out of them and repented and converted. These people lived and reigned with the Messiah 1,000 years. These are the people we're going to resurrect. They're coming from the grave, if you notice that. But the rest of the dead, these are dead ones that you're going to bring forth. The rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. First resurrection. Yahweh willing, we'll have, we got, I think, 3 more Sabbaths. Is that right? 3 more Sabbaths. So we'll be getting deeper into this subject, Yahweh willing. And by the time the feast is over, we'll know this subject thoroughly. And what to expect, because you're the ones that's going to be resurrecting the dead. You're going to receive power where you could think of the walls of Jericho. Just think of those walls. Don't think too hard. We got bricks and rocks around this best sanctuary. I don't want them to turn to powder and fall. But you're going to have that power. Change mountains, move mountains. That's exactly what Yeshua was talking about. Those mountains are made up of microorganisms. In fact, everything on earth and in the heavens are made up of microorganisms, and Yahweh commands them all. Every planet, He commands them all. If He allowed those to get out of line, you think of inside of a clock that's running, and one of these bearings or pins turn loose inside that clock, well, immediately the whole thing just shuts down, and think of the universe in the same way, because everything is based on something around it. It doesn't operate on its own. Neither does the house of Yahweh individuals. Yes, we're individual people, but unless we're in unity with the group, we won't operate. The great sermons that are going to be brought out during the feast and before the feast and to unify you, you'll start seeing the need for this in your household. If you have a family and you have an unruly child, or if you have a dad gone wrong or a mother gone wrong, you know, it really tears up the whole family. And it'll destroy it, destroy the whole family, separate them. I've seen this occur. I know what I'm talking about. Don't let it occur in your life, in the house. It won't destroy the house. It'll destroy you. Yahweh will take you out and replace you, even if He has to do it with one of these pedals out here that people are walking on. And He could do it with that pedal, as Yahshua said. He has power. We'll have power over everything. Everything that creeps and crawls, we'll have power over. Over the universe, as Psalms 8 says. That is the great power that you're going to be given. Resurrecting the dead, The same thing. You're going to keep going to command the microorganisms to remake that body, to form it in the same shape it was in when it died, except it won't be with the cancer that it came with. It'll be free of pain and robust and so forth. Think of Adam and Eve. You know, these people were a joyous couple. You know, just think of the beautiful life that they had and the things that Yahweh showed them, saying, you know, you're going to have this and this and this. All you've got to do is keep my laws. And of course, he had the house there to teach them through Abel, their own children, one tree of life and the other tree of evil. But they had a wonderful life before this, beautiful life. And of course, all of this was, they just threw it away at an instant. Well, of course, they died. Well, you're going to die too. You know, even if none of this were true right now, you're going to die in a little while. You only have a little while to live. And I know people hang on to life, you know, they had it on television this last week or week before last. The woman said she had a choice. She could sell her house that she had invested in all of her life, hoping to retire and live the last of her days in peace and joy. Well, the doctor said, no, either sell your house and get me some money so I can give you these radiation treatments, or you're going to die. Well, you know, he didn't tell her she's going to die anyway, but the fact that money, you know, this is the mercy that comes from the world, like it's coming from Pope Francis right now. This is the mercy. You know, bring me that money. Bring me that money, or I'm not going to give you this treatment, and you're going to die. Well, you're going to die anyway. It's appointed unto man once to die. You, if you die right now, you will give up the greatest reward that's ever been offered to mankind, and you'll have it in your lifetime. We're not all going to die, but we are going to be changed. And I'm changing you right now, step by step. from the lowest to the highest, from the youngest to the oldest in the house of Yahweh is changing everybody in the house of Yahweh. I was so amazed when the women, the 20-year-olds and up, we didn't tell the age before, but they were 20 years old and up, and they did such a magnificent job, I couldn't believe it. Oh, I marveled at this. And then I look at 5-year-old children, and they're correcting older people. This is a marvelous thing. Next week, I hope to get into that word, a kind of a fruit, first fruits. It means so many things there that Yahweh is telling you. And the mercy of this world is nothing like what Yahweh is showing in that one simple word that nobody understands right now, but Christians, I know they didn't, or they'd have took it out, you know. Anyway, may Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you!